Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. There are two major issues circulating today on the investment front. After last week's volatility and the strain it has had on the average investor's savings, we'd all like to know the reasons behind the volatility and get some insight into the future. To that effect, I've asked Luke Tilley, chief economist at Wilmington Trust and member of Wilmington Trust's investment strategy team, which develops forecasts of the U.S. and international economies. Hey, Luke, welcome to the show. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I've talked a lot about China recently. I want to switch some gears and ask you about interest rates. Recently, your committee had forecast a rate hike in September, but now that has changed. Tell us about that.
Yeah, certainly. For most of the year, we had been expecting the Fed to start raising their benchmark interest rate, the federal funds rate, at the September meeting. And the last time that they met in June and July, it appeared that they were on track for that when we read through the minutes that they release of those meetings subsequently. But since that July meeting, we've had one very fundamental change in the things that they look at, and that's inflation expectations. So as I'm sure you're aware, oil prices have fallen precipitously since then. And so have the market-based expectations for inflation. What I mean by that is the bond market has a way of sort of showing an implicit forecast for inflation by the difference between two particular bond yields. And what we can see there is that the market is pricing in much lower inflation over the next 1 year, 2 years, and even out to 5 years. Yeah. And those inflation expectations really, really affect how the Fed thinks. You'll never hear anybody in the Fed talk about inflation and the importance of it without also talking about inflation expectations. So as those market-based measures of inflation forecasts have come down, combine that with some of the most recent current inflation measures, I really think that the Fed is going to stand pat in September and look towards the December meeting.
Well, we've just had this great volatility in the marketplace. You think the Fed is going to be reacting to the stock market to make its decision? Because I didn't hear you say anything about that.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. We had made the call to go from the September to the December meeting about 2 days before all of the recent volatility in the equity markets. I think that the volatility in the equity markets will also get some attention when the Federal Reserve sits down for the September meeting. It's not really the driving force behind what their decisions are. There's often a lot of press reports about, will the Fed come in and save markets? Will they try to boost the stock market? And that's really not what they're talking about at the table. They're talking about how is the real U.S. economy doing? How are the measures of inflation and inflation expectations? And that's why I sort of base our expectation on those measures of inflation, what they expect to happen there. Now, certainly the equity markets are important, but they're important more as a signal of what's going on than they are a driving force behind the decision making.
So if the Fed delays, what do you think that means for stocks and bonds?
Well, I think that it is starting to get priced in right now. There are a number of measures of basically what the market is expecting the Fed to do. And over the course of the past month or two, and certainly during the volatility in the equity markets over the past week, we've really seen the market started to push out their expectations of Fed action on rates. Indeed, the probability of a hike in September is now pretty low. So it's already priced in, but we generally expect the longer, lower interest rates to be supportive of equities and to continue the preference of equities and risk assets over bonds.
So in spite of low inflation, do you ever ponder the idea of the Fed raising rates just in order to return to an interest rate policy that is back to more normal levels? And perhaps that would be a positive sign for stock markets and investors?
Oh, I think it's a great question. I think it has a lot of different facets to it. So I think that probably most members on the committee who were ready to start hiking in September will be sort of dismayed by the fact that they might see the need to wait now, because they really need to be acting ahead of inflation starting to pick up. Mm-hmm. And most of them have expressed a desire to get back to a more normal operating environment. Because the belief is, and the communication from the Fed is, even when they start raising interest rates, that they're going to do it fairly slowly So they're at this zero bound right now, which is still sort of an emergency level, and a lot of them have expressed the desire to get away from that emergency level, even if they hike to 1% and 1.5% over the course of a year, a year and a half. They're still at very low levels historically.
Yeah.
And they would like to get back to more normal levels.
I mean, if in fact all of this easy money does create hyperinflation and then the Fed acts, I mean, it's probably going to be too late and it's really going to roil the market. So I would love to see some kind of movement towards some kind of a signal that, heck, you know, let's let the market do its thing and let's get the government, you know, the printing presses out of the market. Yes, it's going to be a little scarier out there, but you know, we're going to survive and you know, the economy will grow and stock prices will eventually support that.
Yeah, I think you make an excellent point. And really, they're just controlling and targeting a very short-term interest rate. It's an overnight interest rate that banks and the banking system charge one another and doesn't really directly affect you or me or any consumers, but the impact is really on the longer end of the curve. So what you voice some concern about, you know, and the possibility of much higher inflation later, they are very, very much in touch with that. And I think if the market started to expect that there would be very high inflation, you would start to see that come in at the longer-term interest rates. It would show up in a 10-year interest rate, and that would really start affecting mortgage rates and other rates that we do see and deal with on an everyday basis as consumers.
Yeah.
So they're very in tune with that and very much paying attention to the prospect of longer-term inflation.
I'm talking to Luke Tilley, Chief Economist at Wilmington Trust. And to find out more about Luke and to hear this interview again, don't forget to join the conversation at onthemoneyradio.org. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the Chinese currency, the yuan. We know ad nauseum that the Chinese have begun to kind of unpeg their currency to the U.S. dollar and it's letting it drift some more. And it was a surprise and the market reacted negatively. What's your take on where we stand right now?
Well, I think that China has been facing this longer-term transition for quite some time. Until 2005, they had a hard peg to the dollar with their currency, just a very fixed rate, until they really started letting it appreciate back then. But as you point out, it's been a managed currency even since then. Beginning late last year and early this year, they really started to see, I think, some pressure for their currency to depreciate, to lose some of its value. And that's because of the slowdown in their economy.
Mm-hmm.
So their official GDP statistics point out that they do have a slowdown going on. They publish 7% year-over-year growth. So a slowdown there is very different from a slowdown here. But with that slowdown, one of the natural responses to that is to have, all other things being equal, your currency depreciate a little bit. So when they announced the depreciation a couple of weeks ago, it was really in response to some very poor export data that they had just the day before that. And I think more than anything, instead of thinking about what are the direct impacts of a change in our value of the currency, more than anything, it's a signal of just how weak their economy might be.
Yeah.
You know, signaling possibly weaker growth than they publish. And I think that is a big driving concern for markets right now, because China's the second largest economy in the world. And as it goes, a lot of its neighbors go as well. So if you start to have a slowdown in the Chinese economy and other economies, a protracted slowdown in world economic growth really affects equities directly. If you think about most of the companies in the Dow Jones have a lot of overseas sales and get a lot of their revenue and profits from overseas. So that affects them very directly, and that's one of the things affecting markets.
I've seen some statistics that stated that really less than 1% of the U.S. GDP comes from China, and it's the same thing for developed markets, economies like, you know, the UK and France and Spain and Italy, less than 3% for Germany and Japan. So, I mean, really, we're not really that much linked to our exports to them. So really, is it really going to have that big of effect on the U.S. economy, you think?
No, certainly. I think you make a good point, and it's that our direct trade relationship with them is a very small part of our GDP. But the overriding story is it a signal that their overall economy is slowing down? Does that point to a slowdown in the world economy? And then how does that affect sales generally, and how does it affect the world economy? Because when you talk about a general world economic slowdown, that really does impact a lot of companies, although the direct relationship that you point out is very small.
So China is the worry of the day. A month or two ago, it was Greece. As the parade or the circus passes by, what's the next thing we're going to be worrying about in the next few months. We only have a couple of seconds.
Well, I think, unfortunately, this fall, we're all going to be reminded that the U.S. Congress often has a hard time dealing with raising the debt limit, even when it makes the most sense to do so. And it appears that we are on track to have that debate again in October, November, or December. And that's never good for markets or consumer confidence.
Gosh, I really hope not. My guest is Luke Tilley, Chief Economist at Wilmington Trust. Luke, thank you so much for joining us. Love to have you back.
Thank you very much. I'd love to.
You're listening to On the Money with Certified Financial Planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.